على الطريقة الواضحة الغراء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا ضال أو هالك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم وأكرم وزد وتحنن على هذا النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميامين وعلى كل من اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته وصار على منواله إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. 25th day of Ramadan is today, 1429, and in bracket the 24th of September 2008 CE. And this is maybe today being Wednesday, tomorrow Friday is going to be the last day of the tafsir. Friday, the terminal points is going to be for questions and answers generally, because the curtain is going to be drawn finally for this year's tafsir on Friday, inshallah. So for that, tomorrow is going to be the last day for translation and closure, questions, general discussions, if, and the final article message should be on Friday. So also the Hausa version is going to come to an end, inshallah, on Friday. So we ask Allah out of His infinite mercy to help us to accept our deeds and forgive our mistakes. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. مالك اقرأ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس به ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا. والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يقل الشيطان له قرينا فساء قرينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in this ayah number 37, which should be read in conjunction to the previous ayah read. Ayah 36. Because there it says at the end of it, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورًا. Okay? Allah loves not the arrogant, the vainglorious. So the subsequent ayah explains and characterizes those people described as arrogant, vainglorious by saying الَّذِينَ. That is, they are having the following qualities that we have heard. والذين الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل. Those who are niggardly. To be niggardly is to withdraw Allah's bounties, excess in your hand. You don't give it to people. You are being niggardly. Niggardliness is to be a miser, odd-handed. You don't give. You prefer to withhold what Allah has given you. So they are الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ. Because al-bukhul, what is al-bukhul? Okay? To withdraw a bounty which is an excess. You don't want to give it to others that are in need. So this tells you of the attitude of those people that are known as مُخْتَال فَخُور. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ, those who are niggardly or enjoying niggardliness. They are misers. They don't want to give. And they enjoin other people not to give as well. That is al-bukhul. Bukhul is forbidden. You can be bakhil. Okay? Niggardly. Even by your nice words. Your brother is not on the right track and you have the chance and ability to tell him to caution him and you refuse to do that. You are in this process of being niggardly in that case, because he can take the matter up in the sight of Allah on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, he used my neighbor in the world. He did see me doing bad things. He didn't tell me anything. Okay, for corrective purposes. But here, he's talking about niggardliness in material what? Terms or sense. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Not only that, وَيَكْتُمُونَ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Okay? They withhold what Allah has given them out of His bounty. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينًا. Okay? A punishment that is humiliating, because muheen is something that humiliates. So a humiliating punishment has been determined, prepared for such a group of people. That is the message of Ayah 37, talking against being odd-handed, niggardliness, you don't want to give. Not only that, you even go to the point of urging others to do something. Okay. And withholding or concealing what Allah has given them in terms of their own, what Allah has given them. Even knowledge. If you are asked to say something that you know in terms of knowledge, you refuse to say it, you are being bakhil in this case. In fact, it's the most, it's the ugliest form of what? Niggardliness. You have the knowledge. You have the ability. You have something, wisdom to share with people. They are in need of it and you refuse. It will be turned against you to be something to punish the doer with on the day of judgment, as in the hadith. Okay? Now, the next ayah. والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يكن الشيطان له قرين فساء قرينا. That is ayah 38. Know those who stain their substance to be seen of men. Similarly, it's part of their qualities, attitude, attributes. They do things just for them to be seen of men. Arriya, you do something that should be done or should have been done primarily to earn Allah's pleasure. But the intent is you want people just to see you. It is shirk. Don't allow riya to be part and parcel of your behavior. Fight your mind. Fight the heart. You pray the way the Prophet prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in hadith of Malik Ibn al-Hurayth in Bukhari. But when people see you, you pray scrupulously, diligently. By the time people are not there, you do as you wish. That is riya. It's riya. Wallahi, Allah will never take it. You read the Quran beautifully just because you want to hear it. That's all. That's your reward. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You give charity for people to see you. Okay, they are seeing you. That's all. That's why in a hadith, three categories of people will be shown on the day of judgment. Scholar, a'udhu billah. Somebody who spends, someone who goes out for jihad. The scholar, Allah will ask you, I have given you knowledge, acceptance, and all these. What did you do? Oh Allah, I learned, I educated, I did. Allah said, no, it's a lie. You wanted people to say you are, and they have said it. That's their reward. Take him to the hellfire. A'udhu billah. Okay. You going out for jihad? Yes. For what? Oh Allah, I did my best. Defending your cause, I got killed. No. It is to be said that you were a warrior, a courageous person, and people did say that. That's their reward. So also who spends. So Satan is there. Satan takes pleasure in making you subverted. You do something for the sake of Allah, that's the respect in your heart. Oh, people are not seeing, are not appreciating. Please leave it. And by the time you succumb to this satanic temptation, it's catastrophic, spiritually catastrophic. May Allah protect us. والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس for men to see. That's number one. ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر and have not faith in Allah nor in the day in the last day. Is there somebody doing riya? Doesn't believe in Allah. So see, if you know Allah sees you, then you will not be bothered by people whether I see you or don't see you. You will not be moved by their praises, their encomiums. That does not worry you. You will not also be distracted from doing what is good just because people are passing remarks of condemnation. You don't care. Maintain the right way, the proper methodology, the ethics should characterize the ways of doing things. But for people to praise you or to castigate you, that shouldn't cross your mind. Otherwise, you will fail. Let me remind all of us, human minds can never, never be satisfied. Can't you see? It is Allah Azza wa Jal who sends the rain for us, for our sustenance, isn't it? Yet man being what man is. Oh, this can't rain. Who is he castigating now? Oh, this can't rain. He says it within his behavioral pattern. Okay? He says it explicitly or implicitly. Oh, this can't rain. What is he saying? Allah has been giving him female child. Again, female? Okay, alhamdulillah. No, not alhamdulillah, there's something behind it. Look at his reaction. To tell you even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not free of man's ungratitude. So who are you to be accepted by all? Don't waste your time. One scholar said to his child, let me show you how people are. He said, okay, Papa. So he took a donkey. Said, okay, my son, I want you to mount on the back of the donkey while I just draw it. I'll be your guide. It's okay. The boy was trying to protest. It was not unbecoming of him to be. So I'm going to take it. I want to show you something. And they again came across the people. I said, how is this kind of son? This son must be a bad son. Showing disrespect. Your father on the ground. You on the back of the donkey. Subhanallah, the world has come to an end. Then the father said, what did this say? Yes, condemning me for becoming disobedient to you. So, okay, be obedient. Come down, let me mount on the back of the donkey. As they again became across all of them, they said, oh, this kind of old man is heartless. Leaving a small boy, Allahu Akbar, a poor boy on the ground. It should be the father instead. Look at this small boy. Look at this old man. You should be sympathetic, compassionate enough. You didn't have to say, yes, Baba. The first group condemned me. Now, to please them, we ended up displeasing others. So, okay. Let's all of us mount together on the back of the donkey. They came across another group that said, oh, father and son. Mathless people mounting on a poor creature. Two of you is too heavy for this donkey. Allah for the poor creature thing. You didn't say I heard. Okay, let's all of us disembark. Let's just leave the donkey empty and others condemned. I say foolish people. Allah has given you something. You're okay. So you say, that is how people are. Whatever you do, you cannot please people. One man's meat was on another's poison, but there is one Almighty that you can please. So forget about anybody. Maintain the right way, the right track. Okay? Look for Allah's pleasure. As for people, leave them. If you please Allah, Allah will cause people to be pleased with you. Yeah, that's true. But if you try to please people because of their the honor of the heart is Allah. You can neither please Allah nor people. So you end up a loser, a gallant loser. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. So So let's fight the mind, the heart. Let's do everything purposely to please Allah the Almighty. Don't you ever allow riya to cross your heart. Do your best. Satan is there with his evil machinations. But go on praying, praying, saying, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, min hamdihi wa nafsihi. Oh, you pray like this. والذين ينفقون أموالهم رئاء الناس ولا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ومن يكون الشيطان له قرين فساء قرينا. And if anyone takes the evil one, the evil one, for their intimate friends, what a dreadful intimate he is. Meaning, oh, Satan is very dreadful if you take him for intimacy. Somebody took him to my friends, that is a bad thing. Next ayah.
وَنَادَى عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا.
وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا. This is ayah number 39. وَمَاذَا عَلَيْهِمْ. And what burden were it to be on them? What burden, what responsibility beyond their capacity were it to be on them? If, that is, لَوْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If they had believed in Allah and in the last day, وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهِ. And if they had spent out of what Allah has provided them with. Okay? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ عَلِيمًا. For Allah has full knowledge of them. That is, what would have been their troubles if they had believed, if they had spent graciously for the sake of Allah, seeing that Allah has full knowledge on them. This preaches the good behavior of spending for the sake of Allah. So see, you spend out of what you have. It's very important, out of what you earn monthly, annually, that you give out of that. I earn 10,000 naira monthly, for example. As an example, what do I give for the sake of Allah? 10 naira? 20? 100? I give what is giveable and which is affordable, realistically affordable. I have to look at my expenses, then what do I give without having any negative consequential reaction. What I mean here, you have to give. I know somebody earning 10,000, for example, is not beyond his capacity to set aside, no matter how small, for the sake of Allah, Islam propagation. Those that are bedridden as Muslims, being looked after by the evangelical activities of non-Muslims. Okay, the orphans, the women left with children, and things like that. So definitely spending is a good deed. We ask Allah to give us abundantly so that we spend as well abundantly. You see, to be given wealth is one thing. You have to ask Allah not only wealth, but something more important. That is the will to spend. Somebody could have it. He has everything in terms of monetary blessings, but the heart is not there. Satan interjects him into spending for bad purposes and reasons, throwing parties, okay? Things that do not fetch him Allah's pleasure, plunging into Allah's condemnation, but Satan is there to be catapulting him to that. But you ask Allah, or Allah, give me the wealth that is clean, that is ethical, that is Sharia compliant, and then give me the power, the will, the capacity, the capability, okay, to spend it in such a way that is going to please you. That is something entirely different. And not all people do this, but the ones especially chosen. We ask Allah to make us to one of this category. Next ayah.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ
This is ayah 40 saying إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ the later Hamza and known inna in Arabic suggests what? Emphasis. Yeah, because inna, the scholars of Arabic language say what? Inna للتوكيد والنصب. Inna حرف النصب والتوكيد تنصب الاسم وترفع الخبر. إن الله عزيز. إن زيدا طالب. إن يوسف تاجر. إن القرآن كريم. إن محمدا رسول الله. That's the function of إن. If it comes and after it there is a nominal expression, any noun, it gives a fatha. Okay? And the information, the descriptive expression that comes subsequently, it gives it dhumma. إن الكتاب ba جديدٌ. So jadidun is a descriptive section of the expression here. So it has dhumma, gives it the function of inna here. When you go to sentence analysis in Arabic language, al-i'rab. Okay. Now, not only that, it also emphasizes. It stresses a message, a point. Inna Allah, most certainly. So if you have to do i'rab, you say inna harf al-nasb wa tawkid. Allah ismu inna mansubun bil fatha. لا يظلم اللام is a negating la لام النفي مبني على السكون يظلم فعل مضارع مرفوع بالضمة. So from لا يظلم from لا to يظلم is in the position of ضمة because it is the noun or the description of what إنا. Okay, it's خبر إنا أليس كذلك. So إن الله most certainly الله لا يظلم is never unjust. Okay? It denies emphatically. لا يظلم. Allah is never unjust or does not do unjust things. That is more powerful to put it is never unjust. مثقال ذرة in the least degree. Because dharra, what is dharra? What is the name of the smallest particle occupying the space? Atom. Is it atom? Is it atom? Can atom be broken into smaller particles? Scientifically. Can atom be broken into smaller units and particles? Yes. Into proton, electron and neutron. Proton is positively charged. Electron negatively charged. Neutron, as the name implies, neutron. That is why some scholars are even, when they come to talk about sex theory, they are saying even in the composition, in the composing component unit of atom, there is marriage. Yeah, because proton is positively charged, representing man. La ilaha illallah. And then electron is negatively charged, representing the female. Because Allah says, for example, in ayah 49, Surah 51, and ayah 36, Surah Yasin, and ayah 8, Surah Nada. Talking about sex theory, for the sake of clarification, he says, wa khalaqnakum azwaja. He says, وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَسِرُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Okay? He says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ وَمِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. Now the point is, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. In the least degree. So now we are saying, the smallest particle occupying the space is atom. Now I ask, is atom broken? Yes. Into smaller units that we have heard, proton, neutron, and what? Electron. So even something smaller than electron, Allah does not inflict injustice, okay, of that very degree. Allah is never unjust. How shall he? Okay? He says, وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً or حَسَنَةً, okay? If there is any good deed, if somebody does something good, what does he do? يُبَاعِثَ. He doubles it. He doubles it. If you give an arm, sadaqa, of 10 naira, you expect the reward double, okay, and then triple, and then quadruple, and then quintuple, until it reaches 70 fold. Such is the magnanimity of our Creator, Kareem, Kareem, generous. He says, "Ma dharraka bi rabbikal Kareem." Your Lord is Kareem. He is the one that has created you. He has given you the health, the wealth, the will to stand. He is the doer of everything, and then he is also rewarding you. Okay? Somebody is in the aircraft, there, in the dangerous zone, yet drinking alcohol, committing zina. Look at it. But Allah said, no, go in peace. Not in pieces. If you had wished, you know what's going to be. You dare disobey an executive president in this manner, and you see the consequences. So Allah is Kareem. There are many, countless, immeasurable, incalculable instances to prove this very point. So Allah is Kareem. Allah tolerates. He waits for you for the last day. And in the process, it is astaghfirullah, say, I have forgiven you. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا. He doubles it. وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And this from his own presence, a great reward. Great reward. You do something very small, and he gives you his pleasure, paradise, endlessly, forever. Allah will ask you your guidance. Next ayah.
فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا.
Go on.
يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى بهم الأرض ولا يسألون الله حديثا.
فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا يومئذ يود الذين كفروا وعصوا الرسول لو تسوى أو تسوى in one recitation بهم الأرض ولا يكتم لا حديثا. That is, فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد. How then if we brought from each people a witness and we brought thee as a witness against these people. You see, there was a time the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked one of his companions, Ibn Mas'ud. He said, please read Quran for me. Ya Rasulullah, I read the Quran for you. You are the one on whom it was produced. Yeah, I want to hear it from someone, not me. And he started reciting Ibn Mas'ud. The Prophet was listening attentively, curiously. When Ibn Mas'ud came to this ayah number 41, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئِنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئِنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. So hasbuk, it is enough. It is enough, and the tears were running down his cheeks because of the meaning, the message there. Prophet crying on hearing the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's okay, it's okay. Allah was telling him, how would it look like when a day of judgment we bring forth a witness that will be bearing witness on each and every community that passed by, and we brought you, Muhammad, as the witness on all of the people on that very day. It's a great day. That's why the subsequent ayah says, yawma idhin, on that day, يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who rejected the faith, will wish they have obeyed the prophets and the messenger in the world. Ah, too late for them to have this realization. وَعَفَوِ الرَّسُولِ They will wish لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ That the earth were made on them. They will wish on that day they will be entered the earth and the earth will be made flat, never to be seen. Because of that they will be made to see the negative result of their deeds. Just like in one ayah Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَ مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ حَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ And then it will be said to him, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمُ صَلُّوهُ ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا 70 ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ لماذا؟ إنه كان لا يؤمن بالله العظيم لا إله إلا الله As for those, their books will be given to them by their Lord will be calling destruction against themselves that very day They will be saying, oh, how wish this book was not given to us Finally, the angels will be invited to drop them to the same place of chastisement of humiliation May Allah protect them. So on that day, they will wish how? They obeyed the messenger and they will wish the earth was made flat on them. They will be beneath the earth and the earth is flat without them being seen. But Allah says, وَلَا يَكْتُبُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا But never will they hide a single fact from Allah. On that day, everything will be manifestly clear. Allah calls Qiyamah, يوم القيامة, the day of standing. Allah calls Qiyamah يوم تبل السرائر secrets will be made open Allah calls it هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين فإن كان لكم خير فكيدون the day of decisive decision Allah calls it الحاقة the call of the truth Allah calls it a day when the unbeliever will bat the finger as in Surah Al-Furqan ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا Allah calls the day when the heaven, the sky will be bursting, okay? Will be kept asunder. وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ Allah calls it a day when a breastfeeding mother will throw away the babe because of the intensity of chastisement and fear. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْجَأَةٍ أَمَّا أَرْضَأَتْ وَتَذْهَلُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَمَّهَا سُكَارًا وَمَهَا بِسُكَارًا وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ Many names given to Al-Qiyamah to tell you how dangerous the day is depending on what you have done. But then, on that day, as in Bukhari, the riwayah of Abu Huraira, 7 categories of people will be put in a shape. No shape but Allah's shape. We ask Allah to give us that honorable treatment. Next ayah.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون ولا جنبا إلا عابري سبيل حتى تغتسلوا وإن كنتم مرضى ولا سفر أو جاء أحد أو جاء أهل منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم
This is ayah 43. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ وَلَا جُنُبًا إِلَّا عَابِرِي سَبِيلٍ حَتَّى تَغْتَسِلُوا في the end of the ayah. All who believe approach not prayers with a mind defrocked. Meaning, when somebody is under the influence of alcohol, he was tipsy, in other words, with his mind defrocked. Now, the ulama say this ayah was revealed before the final revelation to declare alcoholic consumption forbidden finally. Yeah. Because previously it was not forbidden during the early days of Islam. So the Sahaba used to take it, okay, and go to prayer. There was a time one of them took it because it was not then made what? Haram. He prayed a prayer with 4 rakats, 8 rakats. On finishing, he said, "Shall I continue?" He said, "What?" So I thought I didn't pray well. And of course, he didn't pray well because of the influence of what? Alcohol. His mind was befogged. So gradually, on gradual basis, the consumption was finally phased out, made forbidden endlessly, perpetually. So somebody should not misunderstand the ayah here. It was before being declared forbidden. Okay? Allah said, don't approach prayers while in the state of what? A tipsiness, being defrocked in mind. So, okay. That means if it is in prayer, one can drink it? No. You have to understand this kind of ayah referred to as legislative verses. They were revealed in what? Sequential realities. And finally, it was forbidden. Don't approach prayers whereas antum sukara, in the state of being influenced by the alcohol. Hatta ta'alamu ma taqulu, until you are certain of what you are saying. You see, there is one theology or admonition by Rosseffti. They say, don't drive while drunk, while tired, while what again? Three things they say. If somebody is drunk, those who take it, waliyahu billah, don't drive. When somebody, okay, is tired, or when somebody is sleepy. Okay? So before they even talk about it, Islam says, don't take it. It is haram for a Muslim to drink alcohol or any alcohol-related beverage. Now I want to introduce something here. What about malta, maltina, malt, all these malts? Yeah, what is your view? Alcoholic? Agreed? Non-alcoholic. So one can drink it. But some of these beverages are produced by Nigerian. Like what? Like maltina. Maltonic. There is one called Sava Malt. That is okay. Now I want to ask you. This beverage is not alcoholic. Agreed. But it is produced by Nigerian brewers. The brewers of what? They told you, brewers. Now, if you buy maltina or any of them brewed by the brewers, don't you think through the back door you are supporting alcoholic consumption? Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam handed down condemnation and curse on 9 people concerning alcohol. Not only those drinking it. If you contribute by any way in the production, okay, in making things easy for its production, you are also condemned. The drinker, the buyer, the seller, the facilitator, the one that even gives, okay, how many cartons? Okay, right, you still include it. So how can one escape condemnation if he drinks malt or whatever from breweries? Because finally, the prophets is definitely very bad for Nigerian dairy. You know this for sure. Those with hands in place, you try and take them off place. And there is even possibility of what? In case the husband, A'udhu Billah, could not be marketed, there are chances of the profits going down or being in deficit. They say, once you look at the sales concerning malt, or the sales for there is another big sales, okay, take those sales, come and augment the shortfall we have realized concerning the sale of the hot drink. So it's part of your money that will be used in augmenting the production, the selling, distribution of the illegal consumption. What is it going to be a position in the eyes of Allah? When something is not forbidden, any means that helps in it being produced, okay, shall also be made what? Forbidden. Somebody does not commit zina, yet he rents his house to a harlot, and he says, well, I don't do it. I've just given the house for a rental. But we'll go down on a few. She tells me, well, I didn't kill you. I just applied the gun. Is it common sense to come? Is it acceptable? Is it conceivable? Is it perceivable? Yes, it's perceivable, but acceptable. Perceivability is one thing. Acceptability, okay. Similarly, that is why there is one rule. Whatever that leads to what is forbidden is in itself forbidden. That's the rule, according to ulama. كُلُّ مَا أَدَّى إِلَى مُحَرَّمٌ مُحَرَّمٌ. It's a real Islamic legal system. كُلُّ, listen carefully, كُلُّ مَا أَدَّى إِلَى مُحَرَّمٍ مُحَرَّمٌ. Whatever that leads to something forbidden is forbidden in itself. The law of causality is applicable here. So if you buy malt that you know is produced by the Nigerian brewery, you are definitely indirectly helping and abating and assisting the production of alcohol. You don't even know. And you can't accept it. That's number one. Number two, are you telling me you have to necessarily drink it to be alive? Is it the only beverage? So why do you help it? Why? Okay? So this is a serious food for thought. I didn't buy it, and I just given. One it is just for me. He didn't buy it, the malt, whatever. I mean the one produced by brewers, I mean. I didn't buy it with my money, I was just given. Shall I drink it? So in this case, he was looking for an escape route. So even if it was given to you, if really you want to preach, you want to bring a message to people, stop drinking it. Explain to them this implication. Because a Muslim can be a true Muslim only when at times he denies himself things legal for him. Okay? In trying to avoid falling into what is forbidden. So, this is this. Whatever that intoxicates is forbidden. If any food has the power to intoxicate, you don't take it. Now, the question is, somebody, A'udhu Billah, inserts a needle into the bottle of wine and he sips it, you know, sipping, just needle, inserted, removes it, and sips it. Has he committed haram? And but can the quantity intoxicate? And the wine haram. If really it does not intoxicate, then why do you declare it haram? Now? Yes. Mm-hmm. Look at the quantity. What the ulama are saying, what intoxicates is haram. Okay, in that case, as I told you, just in a needle inserted into the bottle of the forbidden and he drinks and he sips it. No any effect. We still say it is haram. Why? From where does haram come? From the verse. Which verse? وَالْأَنْسَابُ وَالْأَرْضِجْ مِنْ عَمَسْنِ فَسَنْبُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِهُمْ. But the final hour making alcohol haram completely. The hour we are just reading is just on gradual basis, okay, being phased out gradually. Now in the light of the ayah, it is such that the brother is a categorical answer, but because of the ayah it says haram. And there is one hadith which is much clearer. It says, الْخَمْرُ قَلِيلُهَا وَكَثِيرُهَا حَرَمْ. It's small quantity and big quantity is what? Haram. So what is the hikmah in declaring small quantity that does not intoxicate? The ulama are saying, because لِأَنَّ مَنْ اِعْتَادَ شِرْبَ الْقَلِيلِ سَيَشْرَبُ الْكَثِيرِ. He who starts drinking small quantity day in, day out, day in, day out, he will be thrown into drinking. So it's a kind of precautionary measure in Islamic legal system. That's the reason. So it is haram whether small or big quantity. Haram, haram. When Quran says don't commit zina, don't say okay, it is only I just touch her. I didn't commit. Not even touching is haram. Because touching can translate into what? The practice of the evil act. And prevention is better than cure. So it's a kind of preventive measure and not curative one. So on this, Allah says, don't approach prayer wa antum sukara hatta ta'lamu ma taqulun. That is one rule. Now another question. Alcoholic content, is it an impurity? Is it an impurity? If an alcohol touches your clothes, can you leave it and go and pray? An alcoholic content. Oh, yes. Reason. It's gone. You are making. That makes it what? That makes it medicine? He is making a good point. It's not the alcohol that is medicine in itself. It is the consumption. Now I ask, is it the consumption that becomes medicine? He is saying, it's not the alcohol that is najasa, impurity. Okay. Then, what does it make it najasa in that case? The consumption? The simple answer is no. The ulama are divided. Some are saying alcohol is najasa. If it touches you, you can't pray. You have to wash it. Some are saying no, it can be najasa. Because it is made from things lawful. Things, plants, okay. It is the ordinance, the condemnation of the consumption that makes it haram and not najasa. So they have even a rule. They are saying, إِنَّ التَّحَرِيمَ لَا يَعَنِ التَّنْجِيسِ وَلَكِنَّ التَّنْجِيسِ يَعَنِ التَّحَرِيمِ. A beautiful rule. So making things haram does not necessarily make it impure. But if something is made impure, it presupposes it becoming haram. Human excrement is najasa. Hence haram to carry it. But alcohol is only haram, but it's not najasa. And the view is a strong view. Because by the time you say because it intoxicates, it becomes najasa, what about heroin? What about hard rock? Okay. What about hashish? You know hashish, stone. And then hemp. If it touches you, does it run by your clothes in pure? What about cigarettes? Is cigarette haram? Cigarette haram, smoking haram? But somebody will tell you that smelling is only karatia. Karatia. What is karatia? He says smoking is not haram, but it is karatia. But you can't even say karatia. You get karatia by mutilating even the nature. But who tells you smoking is only makruh? It's haram. It's haram. for some reasons, hygienically, spiritually, anatomically, physiologically, any limb you have it, come, you will be able to determine that it's haram. Okay, now, Allah says, now we have known the position of alcohol. To our own humble understanding, alcohol as it is not najasa. If it touches you, you can pray. Yes. If you are talking about, okay, he is saying the locally brewed alcohol known as burkutu. A'udhu billahi min burkutu. The brother is saying it has an irritating smell, such that if it touches somebody, you will feel not comfortable to come to people. But that doesn't make it najasa. Garlic, you know garlic, has an irritating smell. Does it make it najasa? We're talking about legal issues. Not just your perception. Legally. Unless if agreed, some scholars have said it is najasa. I'm not denying that. I'm only explaining to you that if you have that view, listen to other view as well. You can take the one that is preponderance. To us, is not najasa. But for the sake of cleanliness, and because of its negative impact, you don't allow it in your body, you wash it. Yeah, it's just like mani, human sperm, is it najasa? But some are saying it's najasa. But the stronger view says no, mani is not najasa. According to Al-Imam Al-Zarkashi, there are things that come out of human beings. One part of it is najasa. Like urine. Like mazi. Mazi is najasa, of course. Mazi is najasa. If it comes out, you have to wash the place. Mazi. Not mani. Wadi. These three are najasa. Then the second category is not najasa. Saliva. Mucus. Sweat. Not najasa. Even from a kafir. And the third one, divergence, is debatable. Many. Some say it's najasa, some say no. But the stronger view says it's not, and that is correct. Because by the time you tell me many is najasa, that presupposes that the prophets were created from us, najasa. That is unbelievable. Secondly, Nana Aisha, may Allah be with her, she said, I used to scratch bright many from the garment of the prophet, and he goes and prays. Not scratching with finger, that's not even of it. Isn't it? And he used to go and pray. So for these reasons and many more things to be said, many cannot go out and just. Let's complete the translation. So, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى حتى تعلموا ما تقولون. And then, ولا جنبا إلا عابر سبيل حتى تغتسلوا. No in a state of ceremonial impurity. That is janaba. What is janaba? Janaba is the state of spiritual pollution, or what you call ceremonial impurity, because it can't be seen. Janaba comes to be when somebody releases his sperm consequent upon intercourse with his wife, or a'udhu billah, through illegal haram intercourse, or through wet dream. He has a dream having something like this, and he realizes, okay, he is in the state of ceremonial impurity. He becomes junub. According to Quran, one man in this state can be called junuban. A woman also can be called junuban. Plural also junuban. That's out of the clear. Now Allah says, if you are in a state of junub, don't pray. Wala junuban. Don't pray. You are in the state of ceremonial impurity. How can you pray? You can't pray. Okay? Illa abiru sabilin. Illa abiru sabilin. Except when traveling on the road. Meaning what? Traveling on the road, you are in the state of janaba, and you are forced to cross through a mosque. That's the meaning there. There is a mosque that stands in your way. So you can enter and just pass, not to remain in the mosque. Is that clear? When somebody is in the state of ceremonial impurity, you cannot sit down in a mosque unless you just want to cross. You pass through. That's the meaning here. Hatta tightasilu, until you have taken your bath. And you have to go and know how purification should be taken when somebody is in a state of what? Ceremonial impurity. Many of us don't even know how to do this janaba purification. And it has been explained in detail in Bukhari, Kitab al-Ghusl, in our books. One should take time and go and learn it. Practice Islam as should be practiced. Okay. Hatta tightasilu. Then Allah says, wa in kuntum marda. But if you are ill, or that is marda, you are ill, or you have wounds, that's the right word here. You have injuries sustained. Because this expression, marda, marid, marid, has four meanings in Quran. Either like this, sustained injuries, or the real sickness, like in Quran 1872. Man kana minkum marida. Marid also means disposition to committing bad things like zina, like in one surah, Surah Al-Ahzab. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. So Allah says, if you sustain some injuries, أو على suffering or on a journey, أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائب, or somebody comes out from the office of nature, أو لا مستم النساء, or you have met your women, فَلَمْ تَجْدُوا مَاءً, you couldn't lay your hand on water to purify yourself. Okay. فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. Okay. Then take for yourself clean sand or earth. You go and perform what is called dry ablution. How many of us can perform tayammum symmetrically, perfectly? How many of us? Ask yourself. Let me be sincere. Let me go secretly and learn it. It's a shame on a Muslim at this age, he cannot even perform tayammum. It's likely to come across you one day. People have been seeing you going to school, mashallah. They assume they perceive you to be knowledgeable. Please teach me. What do you say? They're then caught unawares. Tayammum. So Allah tells us that if you have one of these, perform tayammum. Sa'idam tayyiba. Clean face of the earth. From somebody who you can rub your face, okay? Wa aydikum, and your hand. Only two parts that should be rubbed. For us to know the tayammum in detail, you go to the schools and other books of explanation to know how it is performed in great detail. Inna Allah kana afuwan ghafura. For Allah blot out sins and forgive again and again. May Allah forgive us. May Allah remit our sinful acts. May He accept us and increase the Islamic spirit. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu. Don't forget the assignment I gave you concerning which comes first, night or day. I have completed my own research, waiting to hear from you. And I told you tomorrow is going to be the last day of the tafsir. No, listen. Tomorrow, translation is tomorrow. On Friday, we use it for just answering questions and final statements. And maybe this one may come back day. Is that? Or do you prefer it today? I think it's late. Yes. Okay, go to question and answer session. Okay, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Ma'am? Yes. Ma'am?
Because I had someone saying that if a child is swollen, so should you, in your place.
No.
You
you don't treat him as a slave. The legal status of slavery today is that is no longer realistic, because there are some conditions that have to be fulfilled before it becomes a reality. There should be an Islamic system functioning and functional. A situation whereby you can go out for jihad and you can do everything needed, necessary. You have an Islamic government that preaches Islam, and the Quran is the constitution of the land. The Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interprets sin, and you abide by the teachings of Allah. But today, you can't tell me that is the true situation today. So in the light of this, the issue of having somebody as slave does no longer exist. Yeah, the verses are there. Until a true Islamic government based on Quran and Sunnah comes back before that thing should be resorted to. Allahu A'lam.
Is it permissible for one to reduce the length of his beard in 7 weeks completely?
Why don't you leave it to grow as it is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why do you take pleasure in reducing it? I know the scholars have divided views on that, but it's better you leave it. Shaving it completely is haram. Haram. Anybody shaving his beard is committing haram. Leave it to grow is better for you as a Muslim. But I'm not denying the others is saying that if it grows, outgrowing one part and others, you can train it to be balanced. That is their own view. Preferably, leave it to grow. Wallahu a'lam. Walaikum salam. You see, it is amazing when somebody wants to maintain Allah's way, he is called fanatic. But fanaticism is for two kinds. You, the one asking me to obey Satan, you too are fanatic. He's trying to maintain satanic way. Simple. Somebody says, no, I'll have to obey my Allah. If you know you are too extreme. You too are extreme in obeying Satan. That's all. It's because of the extremism in you, you insist on telling me I should leave Allah. Simple. So I take glory of being called extremist in obeying Allah. You too are extremist in obeying Satan. So the equation is evenly divided. If you have common sense. People are very angry to apportion blame, whereas the same disease is within them, which is even more dangerous. You just want to please yourself. Okay, that is just a personal remark. That will have come later. But you see, it is the weakness of the Muslim Ummah in this country that has made these things happen. Believe you me. Because by the time you apply for the job, they know you are a Muslim. And if you stand your ground that, look, I'm a Muslim, I cannot violate my belief. Since I don't ask you to go and accompany the dead body of a boss if it's an al-haji, don't go there. It's against your religious issue. But the Muslims are the ones being compelled, and they are silent. They can't talk. They don't resist. They are easily marginalized, and there is fear of the unknown. If I am thrown out of this, the unknown waits for me. So for that, you say, okay, Allah is there. So really I agree with the view he was expressing that the iman of many Muslims are in danger. Because there are even many who don't even talk. They are suffering silently. Why should we allow this to go unchecked? For how long? This is a Muslim working in a department. His boss dies. If really the people are sincere, and if really the Nigerian constitution allows for what you call freedom of what? Religion. Here, constitutionally, his rights are being imprinted upon. But if you no, that is the law. So we don't know what is my constitutional freedom. Constitutionally speaking, I have to practice my own belief. So if a boss dies in a department, in a working place, appoint a Christian to handle that issue. A Muslim allow him as a Muslim. You have to respect his civilizational sensitivity, his religious persuasion. But because they have tried and nobody has spoken, they go on. So they take it away of humiliating the Muslim Ummah. Because we are quiet, we don't talk. When something like happened today, they go talking. Look at recently when the new government came of Eradua, the Christians shamelessly, especially the so-called Western papers, Ibadan, Lagos, Agri papers, they went out crying wolf when there is none. That the government is lopsided in appointments. Even Obasanjo, what kind of lopsided didn't take place? Marginalization flagrantly, and nobody spoke. So the Muslim Ummah should be alive to their responsibilities. We should not be allowed to become dominant in the country of our own birth, but we claim equal rights. They do as they wish and they keep quiet. So Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ رَسُلُ اللَّهُ فَأَنْسَهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who have forgotten Allah, and Allah called them to even forget themselves. And there is nothing more catastrophic than being made to forget yourself. Yeah, that's the issue. So my answer to this is, resist it. Tell them I'm Muslim. If the level of your iman reaches such a level to resist, and you are ready for any consequence, that is great. But if the iman has not died to the point of becoming low, you can't resist because of the fear of unknown. You decide to say, okay, I rely on Allah. It is dependent on the level of your iman, my brother. But I can assure you, if I resist and they insist, there are lawyers. Why don't we touch brothers? We have Mulan. You know Mulan? Muslim lawyers, assistants of Nigeria. Muslim legal practitioners. They held their meeting last 3 months in Lagos. I was invited to deliver a talk there at Lagos Eco Hotel. Legal luminaries were attending, Dr. Adegbeji, and the rest. Issues like these were discussed. That look, some of our Muslim brothers are suffering silently. Some of our co-members, the Muslim sister girl is compelled to remove her hijab because of one bigotry so-called camp commandant. When a girl with a dangling cross in her chest is there, and nobody does anything. How many students were sent packing in OAU, Obakoni, our university, last 3 years? I was there for a lecture. They were assigned, expelled. Why? Because of hijab. Because of their own narrow-mindedness, intolerance, bigotry. And when you talk, they say you are too extremist. They are the real extremists. And be comfortable to be called. You tell them, no, extremism is too, like I've told you, is because of the extremism in me that asks you to obey Satan. I am extremist if I am in obeying Allah. That's all. You are fanatical in obeying Satan. And I'm fanatical in obeying Allah. That's the trouble. So, in short, don't do that. Show resistance. Write it to the opposite concern. Okay? But like I told you, if really you are all that weak, you are afraid of the unknown, you know the situation better. But that is my explanation. And I ask Allah out of His infinite mercy to give us a situation where we can hold our own head high. Okay? Telling everyone that we are Muslims and Islam is our own identity, and we hold it fast. والله أعلم بالتوفيق. عليكم السلام. You are talking of nut mouth. Don't hide. You are talking of nut mouth produced by nut fat. Not so. You see, a Muslim is expected to be just in whatever he does. Of course, the hell bid'ah. Their method is purely mathematic. It's against the Sunnah. We can't support anybody perpetrating, supporting, spreading bid'atic activities. Because we are not to please anyone. We are not to talk to please you or to behave to please you. Our hope is that we end up pleasing our Creator. So we don't care, even if it is your father perpetrating bid'ah, say it is bid'atic. Now the question is, if you talk about don't buy the one by breweries, can we buy the one produced by the bid'atic people? Then I ask you, can't the fanatic people produce their own? Can't they do that? Then I'm asking you, can't they do that? Then why? So to me, any people propagating bid'ah, you can't buy something from them because you are helping propagation of bid'ah. You're making them economically strong to continue propagating their bid'ah activities. But you don't have to say, they are much, much, much near or nearer to you than the kafirun. So it's better you go and interact, preach, explain, maybe. You understand one another. That is much better for the common good of the Muslim Ummah. But you should not be doing this compromising your belief. Try to convince them. Okay? So if anybody is propagating bid'ah and doing something, you hold violence. But does that mean haram to engage in commercial activities? No. Because even if it is halal to buy from a kafir, so from that very angle, you say it is lawful. We are not talking about legality. Buying from them a Muslim though bid'atic is lawful. But critically, on a more serious note, if you are talking in the light of al-wala wal-bara, that's a different chapter. Okay? And? Exactly, when you have a choice. Exactly. When you're talking about al-wala wal-bara, al-wala means giving your support. Al-bara, keeping away. Now, in order to throw your way to Sunnah, under this chapter, you don't buy from bid'atic people in order not to support them to propagate their bid'ah from this angle. But broadly speaking, under jurisprudence, is it haram? No. I hope you know the difference between the two. There is a chapter talking about the legality of buying with kafir to it. And this is in the house of Islam. He's a Muslim, only that he has wrong understanding. So he is by far much, much nearer to you. He's likely to listen to you and you listen to him. If only you can sit and discuss friendly through education and explain to each other. Some are doing even bid'ah wallahi without knowledge. Believe you me. So it's better you don't become harsh. Be realistic. Be a caller. Not somebody throwing people away. Sit together. My brother, this is bid'ah. He said, wallahi, I don't even know. Okay, I was invited one day to Ato Ekitiya, Ekiti State, on a visit. I have forgotten it. Is it Ondo City or Ato Ekiti? One of these two cities. I was invited, and the place of my talk was a place in the congregation of Nafat, the brothers. And I was there, I was given the chance, and I talked and I explained. And Alhamdulillah, they even thought they were saying, please get time to come back again. No. So it's much better. You come together, you share understanding, you crack the brain. Some don't even understand. Don't go and say you are kafir bid'at. No. Please be soft. Take it softly. The Ummah is in need of unity. But don't compromise the fanatic agenda by any sense of imagination. You can do this by maintaining this. I hope you get the question and answer well. So we don't have any choice. Okay. The principle of al-wala wal-bara is there. But generally, it is legal. Wallahu a'lam wa bihi tawfiq. A perfume today, they tell you the ingredients of the perfume, they say water, fragrance, and then alcohol. The simple rule of Islamic fiqh is that if any element, any content is immersed in a larger quantity, its origin is now lost. It never looked into. So when you have a perfume, are you taking a perfume as the byproduct, or are you taking of the constituting ingredient? No. You are no longer talking about the constituting ingredient. You're talking about the new product. The new product is called what? Perfume. So whatever that came to make it off is never taken into cognizance. Because if you were to be asked, please sit alcohol here, water here, can you do that? You can't do that. When you go to the market and buy your food item, tomato, nagi, and whatever, you take it to your wife. Finally, what do you expect to be given? Food, or you begin to start narrating, please give me my tomato, my pepper, my palm oil. You start making it like this, you don't. So the reality now is that you are not only talking about those condiments, we call them condiments, you are talking about the byproduct, I mean the new product, that is your food. I don't know if you're getting well. So there are two answers. First, alcohol is not a najasa. No. So that's one answer. That is even enough to take care of the answer. So using perfume on your body doesn't make it anything bad. It's not najasa anyway. Number two, it is not even haram. Because you are not talking about those things that compose it. You're talking about the new byproduct. So with this, the question I think is answered. Allahu a'lam. Alaykum as-salam. My advice is that he who lives in the house of glass shall not throw stone. Someone with decayed teeth should chew gently. You get me? Whether it is not alcohol, you call it what? Wine. Is it mandatory for you? Is it necessary for you to leave? You have to consume it. Don't you have other alternatives? Why do you insist on you have to be so strange, so outlandish? In the process of if not, it becomes it is. So please be contented with what is made lawful for you, legal, legitimate. It makes you become okay, you become comfortable at heart. Otherwise, you end up finding yourself into what is not supposed to be put in. So let's be very, very careful, extra cautious in the way you consume things. Their own way of doing things is different from yours. If it's called wine, the mere name wine is what? Repulsive. It's repulsive. Whereas you're non-alcoholic or not, what determines alcohol may not be what Sharia says. So don't jump into consuming it. You just leave it. That ما يريبك إلا ما لا يريب. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.